This is a recording of the 200th episode of the Punk News Podcast. Unlike what we usually do, this episode was filmed with Google Plus, so there's video of everyone talking, and you should really check that out. If you want to see this with all the accompanying video, including the musical performances that are as part of this show, you're going to want to head over to YouTube and just search for Punk News Podcast 200, and you'll find exactly what you're looking for.
In 1974, two friends, John Cummings and Thomas Erdely, who had been in a garage rock band in the 60s, decided to form a band. Profoundly moved by the music of the Stooges, by the music of the MC5, by the music of the Beatles, by the music of the Rolling Stones and David Bowie, they brought in German-born American Douglas Colvin and a tall, gangly guy named Jeffrey Hyman. They switched spots in the band. Then, once everything was settled, Cummings struck down on his guitar with a violent, a brutish, a rapid strike, and he created a riff so perfect, so simple, so effective, so unique that it would go on to influence every single punk rock musician after him. This riff was so powerful that it penetrated the water and the air itself, smashing into the ears of a guy named John Lydon, smashing into the guy named Stephen Philip Jones, smashing into the guy named Michael Jeffrey Jones and another guy called John Mellor. And they would take that sledgehammer riff and bend it around classic Chuck Berry licks and the thick thud of Jamaican music. And then they fired that riff back off to the States, where this ripping sound soaked into the blood of guys like Ian McKay, Keith Morris, Gary McDaniel, Glenn Anzalone, Paul Hudson, Earl Hudson, Eric Bouchier. And from there, it spread like wildfire. Michael Diamond, Adam Yauch, Adam Horowitz were energized in Brooklyn. Roger Osborne was electrified in Montesano. Paul Cafaro was lit up in Chicago. John Joseph and Harley Flanagan solidified the sound in Manhattan. And from there, it exploded, affecting everyone from Hot Water Music to Integrity, from Ink and Dagger to Jawbreaker, from Skanking Pickle to Man Is the Bastard, from Operation Ivy to Choking Victim, from Guar to The Coup, from Naked Ray Gun to the Lawrence Arms, from NOFX to Against Me, from World Inferno Friendship Society to Mischief Brew to Plow United. And in that glorious gossamer bloom was the impetus for the birth of punknews.org in 1999. Punknews.org, the only site that covers with equal excitement Antisect and Masked Intruder. The only site that reports on both Lacera and Napalm Death. The only site that speculates on rudimentary penile reissues and just what Laura Stevenson will be putting out next. Punknews.org, home of 5 Keith Morris interviews. Home of an entire series of essays on sexism in the punk rock scene. Home of an in-depth look at the Crass reissues. Home of interviews focusing on Pussy Riot with members of British Parliament. home of over 12,000 album reviews, home of over 55,000 news items, home of the term org core, home of 10 dopamine reviews of the same exact album on the same exact day, home to over 35 pieces dedicated to just talking about what Against Me sounds like live, home to the concept of eating a sandwich when it breaks up, when a band breaks up. And why is this possible? It's all because of you, the readers and the contributors of punknews.org. Punk News is not some editorial board, but a collective made up of readers and listeners, including yourself, all dedicated to yourself, to the love of punk rock and the desire to spread the good word of His Holiness, the Almighty Ramon. And now today, June 15, 2014, we are broadcasting to you live from the Punk News Hovercraft office. Punk News, international broadcaster, sonic attacker, 100% independent, weirder, faster, and more intense than ever before. Punk News Podcast, speeding up, never slowing down, blasting those punk rock tunes all around town, all with a smile and never a frown. So come on down to Punk News Podcast 200. Welcome, welcome, all my friends and listeners out there. So, hey ho, Punk News Podcast number 200. Let's go! And to kick off Punk News Podcast number 200 are the sweet, soulful, styling sounds of Jack Terrycloth, Scott Hollandsworth, and two women that you just met moments ago. Ladies and gentlemen, World, Inferno, Friendship, Society.
Yeah!
Cheers very much. Thank you for joining us. From our home to your home, from Brooklyn, New York, to wherever you may be. Now, thank you again. 1, 2, 3, 4. I pull a barrel off, get it, get it, left on the same. I don't have time to help you. The help to is for you, it's starting. When you love once, it's never enough. Things change, but that doesn't make it all right. And insisting these coincidence is part of something all you need. And the end just waits for you to start it again. Nothing you may have once is ever like. Things change, but they never will.
Things change, but
never knew. Ooh, right. Hey, kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's World Inferno Friendship Society, and this is a special performance for World Inferno Friendship Society because we have the two original Infernites here with us tonight, Jack Terry Clough and Scott Hollingsworth. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Not at all. Thank you for inviting us. Always a pleasure to get out of the house, even if only virtually.
So tell us, World Inferno, I believe you guys are working on a new album. What should we expect from World Inferno coming up in the future?
Well, it's supposed to be out in April, but it's clearly not going to be, so we're pushing it back to Halloween. And we're doing a really short tour of Montreal in, next week, and that's the kind of information that you know. We're going to Quebec City on the 27th, and some festival called
Folk de Sal.
Folk de Sal, Fabio Folk de Sal, up in the fjords. Did you know Canada has fjords? I had no idea.
Adam White is from Canada. Adam White is here with us today.
Hey, Mr. White.
We have many fjords and crags. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to surfing the fjords in my
So, Jack and Scott, I know you guys reunited, I don't know, about a year ago or so by now. What's it like to be back in the studio together, working that magic that only you two can work?
It's great. We don't have to have to speak at all because we have powers.
Telekinesis.
Yeah. It's kind of everything's in shorthand. It does kind of piss the rest of the band off, though.
That's a good point. You know, World Inferno is ever evolving. You guys have had so many people run through your ranks. How stable is the lineup these days? Is it really stable or not stable at all these days in World Inferno?
It's never actually been that stable, and I'm more comfortable with that. But on this next trip, you'll see all the faces you saw on the last trip.
Well, that's, you know, I saw you guys not on the last tour, but I saw you guys on the tour before that, and I saw you guys at Hallowmass, and Hallowmass was fantastic. Punk News listeners should know. It was crazy. The entire month beforehand, one of the, I guess, Jack Terry Clough's, I guess, friend is how you would put it. She passed away quite tragically. So at Hallowmass, instead of having Hallowmass, they had her actual funeral there, and they brought her body on stage only for Jack and the rest of the band to sing a tribute and Rise Me Up, the Pumpkin, well, not the Pumpkin song, I believe it's called Rise Me Up, with an entire chorus. Jack, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about that? Because that was unquestionably one of the greatest concert moments I've ever seen.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Mr. Gentile. Through my friend Alex Talicious from the band Paranoid Style, which some of you local New Yorkers might remember if you're even older than I am. They were a Lower East Side band back in, early 80s. We had just gotten back in contact through one of the various social medias, and we've been talking, and then she unexpectedly died. Well, I mean, she was older than me, so how unexpected could that be, especially given our lifestyles? We had the wake at Warsaw, which has wakes a lot, at the Polish National Home in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. I recommend you go there for the pierogies and stay for the bands, or the other way around, usually.
Well, fantastic, Jack and Scott. Last question. What should we expect from the new album? Is anything going to be super surprising? Will it be more of that World Inferno that we know and love? But to be fair, all your albums are wildly different, if you ask me, so there is no one World Inferno sound.
That's true. This one is a bit more croony because, as a singer, I love to croon, and I will never apologize for that. And our guitar player, Francis Marin, he is a glam rocker, so we're pulling some Bowie strings there. But, you know, I will never argue about that either.
Well, fantastic. Jack and Scott and the two ladies, thank you so much for being on the Punk News Podcast. I believe you're hanging out. This is a super big honor for us, so thank you very much, World Inferno Friendship Society.
Nice to see you all. I'm looking forward to it.
And we will get this podcast underway. We'll talk to all your favorite cast and characters here, but let's keep the musical train rowing or growing or flowing because we are also here with an associate, a pal of World Inferno Friendship Society. We are here. World Inferno is unquestionably one of my 10 favorite bands, one of my other 10 favorite bands. We are here with Eric Peterson of Mischief Brew. Eric Peterson, thank you for being on the Punk News Podcast.
Is this thing on? Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Eric, are you going to be playing a song for us tonight on the Punk News Podcast?
I can. I'm still learning how to drive this thing, but I think I can make it work.
Well, you need a cast of characters like I do. Someone might know it works this thing.
Hey, Jack.
Also my much younger friends to figure out how to get online.
So weird. All right, yeah. All right, thanks for warming things up. Nice to meet you, Adam. Here we go. Here's a new song. called "Oh Pennsyltucky," about the great state we live in. Love song. We sat on the bald rocks of Plum Line, and we watched the fog roll and swallow the bridge on the bay. I thought I could live here, but I'm still in high gear and sweating and freezing 3,000 away. Oh, Pennsyltucky, 3 mile islands, the coal fires buckle, the miners' highways. I love just to leave you, but it's good to see you and old Philadelphia, Hostile City, PA. When we all come from most died of the black lung, another a browbeater, boxer, insane. When he finally got caught, the cops made a few calls. They opened his cell, never fought him again. In old Pennsyltucky, 3 mile islands, the coal fires buckle, the miners' highways. I love just to leave you, but it's good to see you and old Phil Patel, Hostile City, PA. And old Phil Patel, Hostile City, PA. Wake me when Steel City's road work sign shine in my face. Woo! Now I'm safe. Was that a peep show with drive-thru windows? The gun show's got carousels and funnel cakes. It says church in neon and asks me what's beyond. If I had to guess, I'd say more of the same. In old Pennsyltucky, 3 mile islands, the coal fires buckle, the miners' highways. I love just to leave you, but it's good to see you and old Phil Patel, Hostile City, PA. Oh, Pennsyltucky, how you call fires rumble. I love just to leave you, but it's good to see you and old Phil Patel, Hostile City, PA. And old Phil Patel, Hostile City, PA.
Gentlemen, that was a Mischief Group brand new track, only played a few times, I believe, live on stage, not yet recorded. Eric Peterson of Mischief Group, thank you so much for being on the Punk News Podcast, number 200 tonight.
Yes, congratulations on number 200.
That's 200. You know, Eric, I believe, like World Inferno, Mischief Brew's got a brand new album coming out pretty soon, correct?
Well, as soon as we get it mixed and mastered and all the artwork done, yes. Then we'll announce it, as if I didn't announce it just now. We finished recording. We're mixing. So,
well,
yeah.
Fantastic, Eric. I believe you were in Centralia today. Believe it or not. Why don't you let the Punk News listeners know about the special area in Pennsylvania called Centralia, which is a very hellish place, if you will.
It was actually very pleasant. We were there yesterday shooting a video for that song I just played. A much louder version of that song. But it's kind of a near ghost town, mostly abandoned due to an underground mine fire that's been burning since the 60s, and it's a pretty incredible story. And it's kind of where my grandmother's from. She was from like the next town over, so there's a little sentimentality to it, I guess. But yeah, it seemed like the right place to do it, you know. And the song does mention it, kind of references it. So yeah, it was cool.
Let's talk about Pennsylkentucky, one of your brand new, you know, that's a joke that people on the East Coast, well, not, I mean, the song's not a joke, but the phrase Pennsylkentucky is a phrase heard on the East Coast that people might not know about in California, people might not know about in Hawaii or Australia, where all our listeners are at, Pakistan, China, we've got listeners all over the world, Eric. Eric, what is the significance of this term Pennsylkentucky?
Well, it's basically like, it is what, you know, it's Pennsylvania and Kentucky, you know, the two words combined. You got, you know, it's a rippingly conservative state, but you got, you know, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and then everything in between is one of its many nicknames is Pennsylkentucky. But being out there, everybody was very friendly and awesome. They did not seem rippingly conservative at all. They were, we made a lot of friends. So it's where we're from, and so it's kind of a love song to that. So, you know, it's kind of a little loving jab, if you will, term of endearment from our
point. Eric, what can we expect from Mischief Brew in the future? Can we expect harder tunes, more folk tunes, everything in between? Where is Mischief Brew headed these days?
Pretty much wherever we feel like. I've always felt free to do anything and write any type of song. The next record is there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of banjos and mandolin on it. It's simpler in that way, but yeah, I don't know. We don't think about it too much, I guess. We just get in a room and kind of, you know, work it out. We don't think about making it too folky or, you know, too heavy or anything like that. That's probably the slowest song on the record. Let's put it that way. The next one.
Fantastic. Eric, last question. You guys recently released an album called Kettle Rebellion by a band called Kettle Rebellion. It's one of the most fascinating albums to date, I would say, following after perhaps rudimentary penis Pope Adrian's 37 Psychiatric. Why don't you tell us about the mystery that is this Kettle Rebellion album, that is this band Kettle Rebellion?
It's kind of like the band between Orphans and Mischief Brew that, you know, played 5 shows and recorded an 8-song record and then never mastered it, and some kids that were staying at our house stole it, put it on Soulseek, and it was kind of this, you know, we didn't know what to do with it for a while. It was kind of made us angry, and finally we decided, well, this needs to have a proper release. Enough time had passed, and so we released it as a limited vinyl version, and yeah, the response was great for a band that only played 5 shows, all in West Philadelphia, 3 of which were in Ethiopian restaurants. know? It was in 2001 or whenever it was. It's cool to be able to do that. So yeah, it was nice to finally get it out. It felt like a release. And actually, John, who played bass in Kettle Rebellion, was the guy that shot the video yesterday. So we're all still friends.
Well, fantastic. Eric, thank you so much for being on Punk News Podcast 200. This is a real thrill for all of us. If you want to hang around, you can hang around. Or if you got a jet, that's fine too. So Eric, thanks again.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody.
Eric Peterson, everybody.
Woo!
And so Punk News Podcast 200, rocking along like a freight train. Let's get some introductions out of the way. Who wants to do introductions tonight? Adam White, why don't you kick us off with some introductions? Tell us, who do we have here on the Punk News Podcast tonight?
Oh, man, I don't even know who we have here on the podcast.
First of all, Adam White, Punk News Managing Editor, the head honcho at Punk News. If you see something at Punk News, Adam White said it was okay or not okay. Adam White is the big boss man here at Punk News, so you can direct any hate mail to him. Adam, take it away.
Well, that's not right at all. Aubin is the big boss man at Punk News. I'm just the one that, I don't know, shows up in public and actually takes the crap for it. So I'll go with that. Oh, God, okay, who do we have on here? I have to try to identify people from thumbnails. Adam E., how do you pronounce your last name?
Eisenberg.
Eisenberg, okay, there we go. So, like the Facebook guy who played the Facebook guy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Adam's our copy editor. You've been, a year-ish within the past year?
Just about a year.
Yeah, so something like that. So Adam makes sure that things that we post aren't horribly spelled or anything like that. Okay, moving down the list here. Who is here? Okay, in the blue shirt, Greg Simpson from... I don't know, the Midwest or something.
Indiana.
Blooming View. Indiana, okay. Yeah, so anyway, so Greg's in a band called Outdoor Velour, and they sing about outdoor velour. And you just moved, right, Greg?
We are about to move. On Friday, we're moving to Lafayette, Indiana, which is where Purdue University is. So we're moving from Indiana University to Purdue University. So we're traders, basically. You wouldn't know that, but yeah.
I don't know anything about what you're talking about, so.
Sports!
All right, so, yeah. All right, who else do we have?
Sports.
Yes. So there's John Gentile. John is our – John, what is your title? Like, you're the
main man. Main man. That's my title.
John is the loudest person on Punk News. And
technically. Oh, go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, so I don't know. So John puts together these crazy, insane things that – none of us somehow managed to, like, pull ourselves out of our lazy funk to actually accomplish, but John does. So John's the one that actually pulled this thing together and has, you know, bands on this show, which is totally weird. And
Weatherferno, Mischief Brew, you cannot top that. Who's going to top that? The Rolling Stones? Melvins? That's what I'm talking about. Weatherferno, Mischief Brew, Punk News Podcast 200, only bringing you the best Punk News Podcast listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I planned this, I don't know. I've got an old tambourine in the other room. That's about as much as we would have got. So John is amazing. John's also controversial. John, people hate you. Shut up.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah.
Come get in line behind my family.
So that's John. Okay, next thumbnail over, Leanne Cushing. Leanne, did I totally murder your last name?
Cushing, like the disease.
So Leanne helps us with copy editing and things like that as well. I think you came around about the same time that Adam E. did, so you're one of the new org people. So
yeah, I've been around since January. I hopped over from our friends over at Under the Gun. I was with them for a year and a half, so I hopped over from there because punk is better than all the other jargon they report on. But That's just because I don't like hip hop. It's fine. Yeah.
And you're in Boston?
I'm here.
So you're in Boston, right?
Yep. Boston, where it's cold and people are mean. But yeah, it's been all right so far because summer finally turned around. So.
Cool. All right. Next over, we have Mr. Nariman, our sound guy. Sound guy Nariman, are you going to speak on the show?
Yeah, so I don't know if this is news to everyone, but this will be my last show. So I think we got a little interview coming up later to get the news out of me, but really been happy to have been a part of this and looking forward to what you guys do next. But yeah.
So given that you've got that interview coming up, I'm not going to like overbio you and tell all the crazy things that brought you to this horrible point in your life. We'll come to that because that's an interview that's coming. All right, next over, who do we have here? Ricky Frankel.
Hey,
Ricky. So Ricky is like 14.
Yeah.
His mom's letting him be on the show.
he had to sign a permission.
14 years old
slip.
And drinking beer, right? Yeah.
Yes. So call the police.
You're a punk rocker.
Why did we start this Ricky is young thing? It started a couple shows ago.
Like,
anyway,
that's why.
I'm 20 because John, I think one episode said I was 12. I'm actually 22.
Mm.
But whatever. So I guess that makes me the young.
Oh,
I guess
that makes me the young.
Yeah. So, you know, but I'm just a reviewer. I'm a reviewer. Yeah, I'm a reviewer that started. I think it was mid January, and John contacted me on Twitter, and here I am.
Yes, you're one of our new prolific reviewers, which is great because we actually, you know, we only do things because people decide to volunteer writing to this thing. So, yeah, you're one of the reasons why things actually happen, which is cool. Who do we have next here? Spike. Spike, I don't know your last name off the top of my head.
Little. I'm Mark. Mark Little. It's Mr. Spike.
Okay, I totally blanked on that. You are Mark Little. Right. Mark, you joined about the same time Ricky did you not?
Actually, a couple of months after Ricky did, I came in about late March, early April, I think it was.
Yeah, so like in like geologic time, more or less the same.
Exactly. Yeah, rocks were formed about the same speed.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so anyway, so Mark is also one of our new people that's actually like writing lots of stuff, which I don't do, which is good. So that's why we have people that do this stuff. So
me
yeah, Greg doesn't do anything. He just stands around and snarks. So anyways, I think that's everyone who's here right now. Did I miss anyone? Am I good? No, that's everyone. So yeah, those are intros, John.
We're going to have Crazy in the Brains signing on in just a few minutes. But, you know, Adam White, maybe you can tell us the sandwich meme. It's still around. What does the sandwich meme mean, and why was that so effective to all these people?
I've tried to not take credit for the sandwich meme.
Adam, you got to take credit.
But as far as I can trace it, I'm pretty sure it was me. There was a band called... they were one of those post Blink 182 bands, Phoenix TX, I think. It might have been Phoenix TX. Anyways, there's one of these post Blink 182 bands that back in the day when like 3/4 of the bands that were sending us stuff were bands that kind of sounded like Blink 182, they're one of those bands. I have nothing against them, but that was my mindset at the time. They might be nice people. I don't know. Anyways, they broke up, and I'm pretty sure the story, and you can find it in the Punk News archives, was something like, Phoenix TX is broken up, I'm getting a sandwich. And that was really the entirety of the news article about it, and it was meant to express my utter disinterest, I guess, in the story. And I'm sure I stole that from somewhere. I don't really have many original thoughts. So it was probably on, I don't know, what was popular at the time? Dig? Those kind of websites? It was probably from something. So anyways, it was from somewhere, but it was new to the Punk News audience, so that was very funny, I guess, apparently. And then every time a band broke up after that, everyone would just post that they were going to get a sandwich. And then people just started posting sandwich recipes like they were making an order when a band broke up. And it's just one of those weird little Punk News things that's evolved way beyond whatever it was intended to be. So, that's where the sandwich thing came from. There was Scotty's band, The Sandwiches, that was, I'm pretty sure, named after the meme, which is also weird, and these things just have a life of their own because the internet is like a strange little echo chamber, so I guess that's the history of it. I don't know. I didn't check the sandwich meme Wikipedia page, but I sure hope there is one.
Nariman found the article. He posted it in the chat. Yeah, Phoenix TX.
Okay, Phoenix TX. So when was this? What year was this?
2002, September 19th. Yeah.
Spelled with an F.
There you go. Actually, and the person that said this was the funniest thing I've read in a while, that is the user that became Chris Moran, our videographer, eventually.
Oh, yeah. So, sick boy.
Yeah, sick boy. So anyway, it's weird because like you'll go and you'll look at all of the comments from stories from 2002 that were on Punk News, and most of the identifiable people from those stories now write for Punk News in some capacity or have in the past. So that's, if anyone's ever wondering, like, how do I get to write for Punk News? Because I want, you know, no money and everyone to hate me. Just participate, and then someone will ask you, because we are really desperate for everyone.
So EZD is going to become a staffer?
Oh, God. Like he's my first call when we finish this, so...
Let's talk about the content of the troll. I mean, why do you think the troll has arisen so much in the current time frame? Is the troll an aberration? Is that something that's here to stay? Or has there always been the troll, and just the internet is a new way for the troll to express himself?
Troll's always been around. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah, there's always been people who were not held enough as a child. We just have to listen to them now, I think.
I guess I used to be one of them. I remember going on AOL.
You used to be a troll?
I remember going... Oh, I still am. I remember going AOL chat rooms in like the mid-90s and seeing how quickly I could get kicked out by the moderators. Which was pretty quick.
Do you guys think that the troll shares similar backgrounds? Are they similar type people? Or do trolls come from all different areas of society, of culture, and so on?
I think it's all different areas, just people that just want attention. I think you're going to find people who want attention everywhere. The internet is just that nest that's going to let everybody get their voice out.
In case you guys can't see, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rick. In case you guys can't see, Mark Little is wearing an Italian stud hat. Mark Little, you're not Italian, are you?
No.
I got two Italian stud hats myself. I got a black one and a white one. I love the Italian stud hat, but I see that
I've never heard it called like that. I'm just trying to cover
up what it is,
man. That hat I've got.
That's what all the, what do you call it, I'll tell you call those guys, gigolos used to wear back in the day. The Italian
that would be me.
But speaking of gigolos, I think Ricky had something to say.
Mr. Spike doesn't have the...
I just wanted to say, I think the internet, when you make people anonymous, I think people just become, you bring out the worst in people. If it was their real name, I think it would be a completely different story.
Oh, you should have been around when people were anonymous on the site.
Oh, man.
Well, he was only like 9.
Having your mentality terrible.
9? When was that? When was it when it was anonymous? Like 2007?
Yes, you were like 4, I guess. Leanne,
yeah,
you know.
I was.
You were a fetus 15. At that time.
I was 15. Oh, God, you guys. Okay. I was 15. Fuck.
Ricky, you just need to make fun of how old the rest of us are.
Yeah, and then just get dominated by everyone else. Wonderful.
Get off our lawn.
Leanne, you're a stand-up comic, correct?
Yeah.
So you deal with trolls in the real life as a stand-up comic. Do you deal with people, you know, being aggressive towards you and your comedy in real life? And what do you do?
Generally make them feel bad about existing. Hecklers tend to have really two-dimensional thoughts, and as a rocket scientist, I can easily flip those. Or just in general, just kind of make them look dumb, which is easy to do, because usually trolls just are like strong-headed and like, this is my opinion, and then there's all the, no's, and if, buts, and yeah, it's simple. Makes them just look
nice. So, Leanne, as a rocket scientist, what do you do on a day-to-day basis as a rocket scientist?
We're in the US of A, well, most of us. Space exploration is dead, except for SpaceX, which is still not doing much right now. So I work on robotics, so there's that. So I just work too many hours for too few pay, because that's the way startup industry works for having pink-colored hair. And, yep, general self clothing, drinking problem, the average engineer to do, you know.
Well, that's fantastic. Right now, we're waiting for Crazy in the Brain to sign in after talking about Leanne's fantastic drinking problem. So let's talk about some of our favorite memories from Punk News for the past 15 years, aside from Leanne's drinking problem. You know, Greg Simpson, you are number 2 in the Punk News world, I believe. It goes Albin, Adam, and you are the third guy to get involved in Punk News, correct?
Scott Heisel was before me. So you're number 4? Or you mean people that are still sticking around?
Well, either way.
Yeah, I've been a staffer since 2002, but I've only written like maybe the most reviews I've written in a year is like 25, so like nothing compared to Schultz or when Anchors was around or any of those guys. But, you know, I just like kind of hanging out, being part of the community. It's fun.
Greg, what has been one of your favorite memories from Punk News, either 200 episodes of Punk News podcast or 15 years of Punk News?
Wait, say it again? Which one?
Greg, it's not a difficult question. The question is...
You're garbled.
I just got a text from Jack Terrycloth of World Inferno. I'll read it to the Punk News listeners. Thanks, pal. Good time. We've moved on to the roof, but we'll be back in to say goodnight at the end. So in case you're wondering, World Inferno is on the roof, and who knows what they're doing on the roof. But Greg, what has been – you've been here for 15 years or 14 years. What has been one of your favorite memories of Punk News, either the podcast, either the site, whatever you want to say? Punk News-wise, what's been one of your favorite memories? Did you have the mustache when you first started doing Punk News? When did you grow the mustache?
Maybe 4 years ago, but yeah, I think one of my favorite things to do is this, making and reading the year-end lists. I really like the year-end lists, even with how they've...
That's not a memory, Greg, that's an action.
Well, I have my first end-of-the-year list was 2004, and it was just the greatest thing ever that I could be like, this is my opinion, and I have a platform for it. But I'd say, one of my favorite things of recent memories. See, I'm too old, my memory is bad. But I really liked, you mentioned before, the series of news posts we had about sexism in punk rock, people discussing that kind of stuff. We had a bunch of interviews posted with ladies and men discussing problems within the punk scene. regarding sexism. I found those really interesting.
Oh, was that on the podcast?
Yeah, do we ever have anyone on the podcast discussing that?
I think we did. I remember listening to an episode where they talked about sexism in the scene, and it was fantastic. I think Rich was on it.
Well, then it would be fantastic.
It was really good.
Nairman, are you able to add people to the call? I mean, to the podcast.
They should just be able to use that link.
I know. I mean, be a phone number though, because I know I was able to do it with my phone number previously.
Let's see. I don't know.
Well, you guys keep talking. We're trying to get Crazy in the Brains onto the Punk News podcast. So you guys talk among yourselves.
No, we should just be awkwardly silent and just derail this.
Send them the link on Facebook or something, because that's what I did for Max Stern.
Yeah, it didn't work for them.
Just saying.
Leanne, you don't know Crazy in the Brains. Like, I know Crazy in the Brains.
All right.
Call them via telephone.
Cool. I mean, not understanding technology is an important setback in life.
Well, cool. Is Max around right now? We can call him in, and I'll work on getting Crazy in the Brains in here.
I asked him to sign on now, because he said getting ready or whatever, so that's cool.
Let's get Max Stern of Signals Midwest onto the Punk News Podcast. And listen, people, this is what punk rock is all about. This is the Punk News Podcast number 200. It's chaotic. It's wild. It's shambolic. Who knows what's going to happen on the Punk News Podcast? You just got to roll with it, let me tell you.
Could I, chime in that, maybe this is a good we should totally do a similar version of this IRL at, Fest this year or something for whoever's going?
Real people. I don't know if we do real people
I have $100 mic, so we can totally have an atmospheric pickup, and all of us just sit there and talk at each other's faces in person rather than tiny Google icons.
One of the rules of Punk News actually is that we never meet in person ever.
I would like to point out. Yeah, actually.
It's hilarious because I can see myself in Adam's glasses reflection, but regardless, there is precedent in the history of the podcast, there is precedent for a live podcast, and I think John has been on There's been two live podcasts. It was Kira, Rich, and John in both of them, and we did them in San Jose both times, once outside of a Pizza My Heart, and the other time in Rich's master bedroom while his baby slept in the other room. So there is precedent. We were all sitting on the floor and recording a podcast that we were there all together in one room. It was kind of crazy.
Wow. Mm.
I've only met one of the people participating in this right now, but a handful of others as well.
And we had a good breakfast.
We did.
I met two while I was at Poozafest. So there's that. Not Adam, though, which is a disappointing thing. I will be going to Philly later this month, so hey, we could IRL that shit.
John and I saw Novus in San Francisco.
What's that?
John and we saw Narboots together in San Francisco.
Narboots, that's right. Ricky and I saw Narboots together.
He was allowed to get in? I mean, it was all ages,
God,
I assume.
Fucking damn it,
I would point out that Mark Little has changed from an Italian stud hat to more of a biker do-rag. So, Mark Little, what's the purpose of the biker do-rag as opposed to the Italian stud hat? I wasn't making fun of the Italian stud hat. I'm pro-Italian stud hat.
I know. I decided to put on the Cobra Skulls do-rag to be more hardcore.
I thought it was Insane Clown Posse for a second, but then...
Ouch.
So why we're trying to get some more guests on the Punk News Podcast, it's kind of shambolic here. Adam E., can you pull an audible and interview Adam White for us about the history of Punk News while I get all this jazz put together?
I can. I have some hard-hitting questions prepared.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Gotcha questions?
So let's just do this thing. I guess my first question is, 15 years ago, the internet is still the Wild West. It's this uncharted frontier. Why step in and why Punk News?
Well, we were really the first website. And it really took off after we started the internet. We started out of a zine that Aubin was running in Toronto back in I think like 1998, maybe 97, which was like a skate punk magazine that was that he was putting together, like a traditional, you know, like photocopied, you know, black and white little punk scene. And he did like two or three of those, and then Aubin is an incredibly smart and forward-thinking guy, and he thought like, hey, the internet is something, we should probably do that. And we were one of the first sites that did what we do now. And I think that we get along a lot these days on the reputation of we were there really early doing this when, you know, before there was people blogging, before there were, you know, were all types of, you know, totally way better than us music writers could go out and actually have a platform to do that easily. We were really one of the only people that were doing it. And we didn't even know anyone was reading half this stuff until we started hearing from labels that, you know, yes, we'd actually like you to post about this, or like, is that news true that you posted, and all that stuff that started coming through. So that was new. I don't know if this was really Aubin's motivation for it, but when we emerged, there was a really popular, and I guess they're still popular, I don't know, tech blog around at the time called Slashdot. And early punk news really looks like Slashdot to me. Like, it was the same sort of setup. We used to do this thing where, like, someone would send in a news article, we would post the whole thing in quotes, and we wouldn't do any copy editing on it at all. And it'd be like, here's what someone sent us, and then just, like, in italics, here's, like, the whole rambling crazy thing that someone sent us, which was actually really close to what Slashdot was doing at the time. So I want to say that we were sort of following in that model, just in music, not in tech, but... Yeah, I don't know. That didn't answer your question. I'm just talking. So, I mean,
you started by, you know, kind of taking people's crazy rantings, purported news, and throwing it up there. When did you become more journalistic?
I think that really from the start, one of the things that we did that a lot of the early music sites didn't do was we took like that extra 30 seconds to actually like contact labels and bands when there was news. And that sounds like really simple that we would actually fact check stuff, but so many sites at the time, especially because like these are like, you know, these are music and entertainment sites, they were going on like the rumor model. Like a rumor is a story and they could report it as such and say, you know, we're hearing chatter that this crazy thing is happening. And even, and they're not saying it's true, but they're saying we're getting this rumor. We didn't do that for the most part, so the labels and the publicists and stuff like that started to like us because we were actually making sure that the stuff we were posting was somewhat accurate. So I think like that was sort of the moment when we started getting feedback from people saying that, you know, hey, we'd actually like to contribute this, or hey, can you post this, or we have a tour coming up, or, you know, when we got, I guess, the attention of the PR people, it became evident that, yeah, a lot of these people we're talking about actually might care what we're talking about, so we should probably, you know, endeavor to not be horrible at it.
So what, like, it's kind of hard to say, you know, why a site grows, how it grows, but why do you think people flocked to punk news? How do you think they necessarily found out about it, and why did they keep coming back for more?
Honestly, I think early on it was scarcity. Like, we were one of the only, and that's how I found punk news. That's how I started writing for it. Is that at some point you'd pull up whatever the search engine was at the time. You'd pull up like Lycos or something, and you would type in punk, and it was one of like the three things that would come back. So I mean, early on it was really easy because there wasn't really a lot of competition for that. I think since, and I guess maybe because we had that head start, it was easy for us to start to get the attention and the respect of a lot of the labels that have helped us out over the years. So, you know, when, you know, Epitaph had something coming up, for example, they would tell us, we would post about it, they would share the link out with their people on their mailing list, and that would drive more people in. So it was this reciprocal thing that was happening.
So what's been the high point for you in 15 years?
You know what? I have my high points for punk news always tend to be weird little moments where I'll talk to someone and they'll swear that the site is really super important to their life in a way that goes beyond them just being nice. And usually these happens to me, this always happens when I'm at my low point and I really don't think anyone gives a shit anymore. This happened to me yesterday, honestly. I was at a little record show and I met some guy that I'd never met before that runs a little cassette label up north of Toronto. And he was just, it was one of those like, yeah, for the past 10 years, I wake up in the morning and I check Punk News first thing. Like that's how it works. And I'm like, that still sort of blows me away, and it's weird because I know how things work on the back end of the site, and we barely have anything together most of the time. Like, we're, you know, it is an incredibly loose collection of volunteers. Some days we might not post much of anything because everyone has real lives. So when that kind of shit happens and someone actually comes in and confirms that, like, yes, there's a real human being out there that, you know, they actually really care and have for years what we've been doing, that's always super weird to me. There's this guy in England that emails us about the podcast every once in a while, and he was saying that, like, we're what makes his commute to work tolerable, which is totally crazy because we're horrible. We don't even record these things so they sound good. So the fact that, yeah, like, just the weird accumulation of everyone's effort here somehow actually matters in people's lives. Like, I love hearing that stuff because that's really what, you know, makes it useful to keep going and stuff like that. I mean, I had earlier stuff. I had all my fanboy moments when I was like, oh my God, like, you know, Jesse Michaels emailed me and all that stuff that you go through as you start to actually interact with people. But I mean, these are punk bands for the most part, so it's not actually that hard to interact with them. It's not like you're trying to interact with a rock star you can never communicate with. Like, most of these guys will talk to you and they're normal fucked up people just like everyone else, so, you know, you get over that pretty quick, and then it's mostly just the connections like that.
So where do you see it going in the next 15 years?
The next 15 years is tough because we served a purpose because there was a void for us to fill for a long time. Like, there wasn't anyone that was talking about punk news. There wasn't a place where you could go and really collectively get this information. But now we have all this social media stuff. So you could, you know, find the 5 or 10 bands that you really like, go follow them on Twitter or Facebook or whatever's to come next, you know, get the updates straight from those bands, cut us out, you know, maybe rightfully, because why do we need to relay that to people? And, you know, you could get all the information that you couldn't necessarily get earlier without there being a punk news. So that calls into question, like, what do we do? So what should we be doing? I don't know. This is where it's going to be interesting to figure out, you know, do we do more original features? Do we totally just fucking throw the credibility out the window and start posting, like, these are the top 10 bands to get your workout onto? Like, do we do that kind of shit? Because that's what seems to drive traffic to every other website now. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because I don't think any of us who work on the site want to do that. But we very well might.
All right, I'm gonna throw it over.
Back up right there. I'm not saying we won't do that. That would be horrible. We'd probably quit instead of doing that. But that, you know.
All right, I'm going to throw it over to Ricky because he's got a question.
Yeah, I actually, I've been meaning to ask someone this, but I figure Adam is the best person to answer it. So let me preface by saying I was at an Against Me concert a couple weeks ago, and I met someone who apparently worked for Dying Scene. And I told her, oh, yeah, I write reviews for Punk News. And she's like, oh, I don't even know if we should be talking. Apparently there's like this whole like feud or like rivalry going on. And I was wondering where, if there was one, how it started, and if there even is one to begin with.
Not from, like, I think anyone that is, I know I hate to say this, like anyone that's in charge of Punk News, and I don't even really consider myself that.
Yeah.
None of us have any problem with Dying Scene or anything like that. So, you know, there may very well be some sort of rivalry that exists between, like, some, you know, guy that's written reviews for us here or there. There might be something that they manufacture from, like, you know, people in the comment sections every once in a while will talk shit about other sites, but that, you know, is by no means representative of what the rest of us think. I have no problem with Dying Scene. You know, it's really hard to consistently run a music news website, so, you know, God, all the power to them if they can do it. Yeah, I don't know. It's been a long time since there's been a serious, beef that we have had with another website. And most of those were because we were really super immature, or really that I was super immature, back when, like, me and Scott and Aubin were the three that were posting most of the articles. And anytime I think back to anything that we've had like that in the past, it was mostly because, like, I'm an idiot. So, yeah, no, we don't have any problem with Dying Scene. Dying Scene's great.
Okay, yeah, because, I mean, it wasn't like the person I was talking to was, like, angry or anything like that, but I'd never heard of that before, so I was just curious.
No, first I've heard of it is here, so.
Okay, cool. That's all I got, Adam.
Cool. So I guess the final question going off that is, should we start a beef with another site? And if so,
hell yeah! Hell yeah!
Which site should we beef with?
AV like, Club.
Noisy.
Huffington Post.
We should get in a fight with Noisy, shouldn't we? No. You know what? I once when I was it must have been like 2003. There was some site out there that was like a punk news / rave news site, and I started this bizarre fight with them over, I don't even remember what, but it was one of these things that, like, spilled into articles, and there was, like, published rants about it, and it was completely inside baseball, whatever it was, and it was not interesting to anyone. And I remember we looked at it at the end, and Aubin was just like, yeah, we're not going to do that kind of thing anymore. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm a teenager.
Yeah, getting married will end a lot of that shit. It's like, okay, enough of that.
Yeah, so I'm easy, whatever. So yeah, I don't know.
Wait, you're easy? You're easy D?
I am easy, yeah.
Holy shit.
Revelations on Punk News Podcast number 200. Adam White was easy D the whole time.
The secret is out.
And I'm Dave Brave, John, so.
Anyway, let's keep the podcast rolling along. We are here with another punk rock celebrity. A punk rock celebrity. Although maybe he's not paying attention right now. Max Stern of Signals Midwest, are you there?
I think so.
Oh, is that him? Or is that Greg? Max, what's happening? What's happening?
Hey, man, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yep. Baby. Max, thank you for being on Punk News Podcast number 200. We're so thrilled. Max, why don't you hit us with a song and then people will ask you questions? How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Max Stern of Signals Midwest.
Yeah! Was that a sound effect?
No.
That was fucking awesome. That was great. Shows how beloved you are. All right. This is from our last record called Light on the Lake, and the studio version has our friends in Restorations on it, but I'm going to do a solo song. This is called St. Vincent Charity.
Something twisted, dark, and foreign. And when I would call, you were never home. And maybe I could have prevented something, or had some influence when you called me from the hospital. Yeah, I recognized your voice, but I didn't understand it at all. Yeah, you said you were sorry, but you didn't say what for. And that you wish we could have been friends in real life, but that night, reality, it never hit harder. Whitewashed eyes, dimly reflecting a fluorescent glow. and you laid still while I was tearing up the floorboards. There in the dimming lights and the peeling labels, clusters of couches and coffee tables, the weekend suns with the stagnant sky in the church. Doors open, and the bed they made you at St. Vincent held a body's warmth and a heart stretched distant out past the shoreways and into the hands of the ones we love but leave alone. All the ones we love but leave alone. Yeah, the ones we love but leave alone. Yeah, the ones we love but leave alone.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks. I don't think I've ever done that. There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Well, that was fantastic. Cool. That's Max Stern of Signals Midwest. Who's got some questions for Max Stern of Signals Midwest? I know a lot of you guys got a lot of questions. You're daring to ask them, so ask away. Go ahead.
I don't know if anyone has any questions.
Well, Max, tell me, what's Signals Midwest up to these days? Are you guys working on new material? Are you supporting old material? What's happening?
Actually, the reason I wasn't on this hangout till later was because we were having practice and writing new songs, and also we have to buy plane tickets for a European tour in September, which I've been freaking out about all day.
Well,
so,
well,
yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, Max.
So, well, we are some new watches. We probably shouldn't be making phone calls.
Sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak a little louder?
Oh, can you guys hear me still? I guess not.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
I can hear you, man.
So, Max, you're saying you're freaking out a European tour, but what is it to freak out about Europe? Europe's a wonderful place. They got Belgian chocolate. They got fish and chips, Italian pizza. What is there to be nervous about in the UK and Europe itself? Why are you scared? Have you been to the UK before? Have you been to Europe before? What do you expect?
I'm not really scared, or, you know, I'm excited to go and tour in another place. I got to go to Australia back in February and March with Will from the Smith Street Band, and that was really great. It was my first time touring overseas. But it's just doing it with a full band. There's, like, people don't realize how just what a logistical nightmare it is to just buy flights and rent a back line and book shows and find a driver, and it's just, I don't know, man, it's pretty heavy. It's definitely not like it is touring here where we can just kind of get in a van and go and hang out with friends, and I don't know, it's been pretty intense so far. It's not till September, so we got a while to figure it out, but yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I've never been over to, like, the UK or anything before. I have no idea what to expect, really. If anyone's been over there and has recommendations for me, I would love that. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like someone's calling or something like that.
I think Brittany Strummer is trying to call in.
Cool. I don't. Can I do that, or do you control that?
I think Nariman, our podcast dude, is doing that.
I honestly don't see any options for people calling. I don't see that.
It's this Uber conference that Nariman.
I was trying to get that going, but you can just ignore that and continue with the interview.
I'd prefer that we stop and talk about what Nariman's doing on the technical end.
I would prefer that as well.
Yes.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, you're not behind the curtain anymore, so this is our last chance to kind of, like, you know, make all of our technical problems well known and your fault.
I like your Constantine shirt, man.
Thank you. I like my Constantine shirt, too.
Very cool. Hi, Leanne.
Hi. Sorry, I disappeared for a second. Roommate stuff. Yeah.
So did we lose John on this one?
Yeah, is John still there? Do we have John?
I think we may have.
I think
this whole thing's going to fall apart without him.
We're lost, John.
There's John.
Help me. Thank God John's back.
Yes, he just joined.
How did the interview with Max Stern of Signals Midwest go? How did everybody do what in my absence?
Everything collapsed. It was terrible.
I walked away too, so I couldn't help.
You know, Max, we're in the presence of greatness here, and I don't mean Adam White, even though he is greatness. We are here in the presence of Jack Terrycloth of World Inferno. Max, do you know World Inferno? Do you know Jack Terrycloth? He's waving.
Very much. They were on a Rock Against Bush compilation that I got when I was very young, and that was my first exposure to that band. That's pretty cool.
And I believe that
really worked out well.
Yes, very much so.
Another 4 years, get rid of them. Boys had a lot to do with that.
Max and Jack, where do you guys see the world going in the next 6 years, I suppose? Are things going to get better? Are things going to get worse?
If you're a punk rocker at this age, you have to be an optimist, so of course it's going to get a lot better.
It's going to get so much better. It's going to be incredible, man. It'll be like nothing you've ever seen before.
Jack, you know, you've been in the punk rock scene since like 86, I believe, or 85. There's some early demo tapes out there.
More about my eyes, Joe. Yes,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jack.
I didn't hear the question.
The question is, you know, Max has only been a punk rocker, you know, with the studs and the Ramones patches and all that good stuff. He's only been a punk rocker for Max. What have you been, like 6 years? 7 years? Jack, what advice do you have for Max as a veteran, as a man who has forged music, done great things, and made unique sounds? What advice do you have for Max Stern of Signals Midwest?
Well, if I can quote John Joseph from the Cro-Mags, never surrender, never go down.
Amen.
Fantastic. You know the Punk News Podcast, number 200, is doing great. We're recording the Cro-Mags. Listen, we also – anyway, Max Stern, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to mention that's coming out sometime soon?
No, just thanks for having me. I've been checking Punk News for a solid, like, almost a decade now. Thanks for having me on the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Max Stern of Signals Midwest.
Yeah. There we go. Thanks,
and
guys.
Max, that's your being all. You can hang around if you want, or if you want to jet, you can jet as well. Meanwhile, this is, as we talked about, Soundguy Nerman, this is his very last podcast. We've known Soundguy Nerman. He's been doing the Punk News Podcast since it started, I believe, for 4 years. Before that, he did Sound Scene Revolution. And actually, Nerman, I believe you interviewed World Inferno a long time ago in Sound Scene Revolution, correct?
That is correct. I was actually just pulling that up to look it up. It was August 2006 when Rich and I went out there, and I think we met them somewhere in San Francisco at I can't recall what club we were at, but we interviewed them. That was 8 years ago at this point.
Well, of course I don't remember, but did I say anything particularly stupid? I probably did.
I think it was actually a really fun interview. It was my first exposure to you. I mean, obviously, Rich knew you guys, but there was a whole group of you, and it was a lot of fun. It was right after your sound check, I think, and before you played your show, and then we stuck around and played and watched the show. It was great. I mean, everyone says something stupid sometimes.
I just mumble and slur my words. What band were we touring with that time?
Oh, man, I can't – I have no idea.
Someone really good, I bet.
Yeah.
I was particularly friendly that tour.
Well, fantastic.
That was actually one of the first interviews I ever heard with the Inferno was on that podcast.
Really? Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So, I mean, Rich and I started doing that podcast, The Sound Scene Revolution, back in 2005. I was just looking up. It was we were recording him in September, and we started putting him online in October. So at this point, it's like, 9 years ago, Rich and I did that we interviewed 120 different bands. Every one of them was, live at a show or some festival or something. We would travel to all these places in the Bay Area. We went to Fest a couple times, did some interviews there. Warped Tour a few times, but always going to clubs and venues before or after they would play and interview these bands and get a little view of behind the scenes of these touring bands. And it was a lot of fun. And then it kind of came to an end after a while just from doing so many of them. Then when that show ended and you guys, the Punk News podcast kind of started kicking up, I think Rich had been one of the editors at Punk News, and he suggested that I join and start producing the podcast. And honestly, I have no actual training. It is just from doing Sound Scene and then obviously doing the punk news that I got into this stuff. And I've been doing it now for 9 years, and it's been fun. It's been interesting.
Nariman, what got you and Rich started with doing this? Because I'm just trying to think back to like 2000, and podcasting went through these kind of weird waves where it was incredibly buzzy for a while, and everyone was starting them and doing them, and then it got really quiet, and now we're kind of back on the upswing on it.
Yeah.
Like sounds, but if it was around like 2005, you said, for Sound Scene, like that seems pretty early on. Like what motivated that?
Okay, so just a little history. Rich and I have known each other since we were in kindergarten, so that's like six years old, and we've been friends since then, yeah. And then I think it was like September 2005 that Apple had announced podcasting was going to be part of iTunes. It was going to be built right in. And I was always a tech guy, and Rich was into music, and I said, hey, this is a perfect opportunity because I have no... Rich did college radio, and so he had some experience, interviewing people, and had a passion for music. And I said, so after Apple had announced that podcasts were going to be part of iTunes, I emailed Rich and I said, hey, do you have any ideas? Can we do a podcast? And, I think it'd be interesting. And a month later, we had one, and we kept it going somehow. We did like 20 to 25 episodes every year for 5 years. So it was pretty – I think podcasting had been around for like a couple months, maybe 6, 7, 8 months before that, an official like podcasting term. But, we got in there pretty early. It didn't help us really because we still sucked, but we were there.
And now it's made you wildly wealthy.
I know. I'm going to be spending my podcasting millions for the rest of life.
Sorry, I always love money.
We made money on all the bands that we interviewed.
Yeah, good. I was wondering about that one.
Yeah. Typical music industry.
Yeah.
So I guess, Nariman, you've been behind the scenes for so long. Is there any advice for us now that we have to take this thing over and somehow do it ourselves?
Fake it till you make it. One thing I would like to share, just in the 9 years of doing this and meeting, meeting bands or even meeting you guys, just for with the bands, you're meeting them for 30, 40 minutes at a time, and I have no expectation that they'll ever remember me, but you spend a couple minutes here or there and they're traveling, or even getting a chance to talk to you guys every week or so. It's just you're opening your mind up to different people and different ways of life. It's really interesting. I've been exposed to stuff that I never would have been exposed to if I hadn't been part of it. So I'm really grateful for that. I appreciate it. And I've learned a lot, and I've met some of you in real life, I think. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. So, John, I'm sure you got this up your sleeve, but I'm going to do it. Nariman, thank you so much for what you've done. It's not just that it's 200 episodes. It's been 200 episodes more or less weekly. Like we've missed like 2 or 3 weeks over the past, however many number of years.
Yeah.
So, That's huge for something where no one is paying you. You don't even really get the glory of being the attention hog whose name is on the thing. Like, at least John and I could go and say that, like, hey, I'm on this new podcast that I'm hosting. You should listen to it because I have a big ego. Like, you couldn't even get that. So,
oh,
Oh, we're getting interrupted. In the middle of our loving speech to Sound Guy Naaman, we're getting interrupted by Crazy and the Brains. So, Naaman, we'll get back to you. We'll pay you another tribute because you are so wonderful. But here we are with Crazy and the Brains, finally live on the Pug News Podcast, number 200. Crazy and the Brains, I believe you guys are on tour and you're outside of McDonald's right now.
Check it out. Sick.
Yeah.
Well, Crazy in the Brain, you know, you're one of my favorite newer punk rock bands. You guys are pretty new. You've been around about 3 years now. You've got an album out. It's a fantastic album. Crazy in the Brains, hit us with a tune. Let's hear some music.
Okay. All right, Lawrence, we're going.
Right. While they play in a cornfield.
Let's see if we can set this boy up.
Woo! John? Woo! This is
awesome. this is live.
I hope Malachi doesn't come out of that corn.
Yeah, I'm relatively proud of how they're literally in a cornfield.
Yeah, Midwest.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And the Brains on the Punk News Podcast. They put out a record, I guess, late last year, 2013. It was called Let Me Go. That was the title track. And actually, Crazy in the Brains, Punk News listeners might not know this, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, you and me, all of us, we hound-dogged around San Francisco, did we not?
That's right.
So tell me, what did you guys enjoy about hound-dogging around San Francisco? What was it that you enjoyed most about San Francisco? Was it the cuisine? Was it the friendly females? Was it the art? Was it the culture? Or was it something else?
I think it was the friendly males.
The friendly males in San Francisco.
The odor. Odor was very agreeable. Mm-hmm. A lot of body odor right there. It smelled really good.
So tell me, Crazy in the Brains, you guys are on tour right now. How's the tour going? And where? I know you guys are in a cornfield, so where are you? Are you in Kansas? Where are you?
Oh, where are we? We're in North Carolina. North Carolina. We're by Charlotte. We're off of an overpass. We're in a KFC parking lot. This is about where we are. We're outside the van. It's pretty awesome. Charlotte.
That's not the corn belt at all.
Charlotte, that's right.
Are you staying there?
I don't know where we're staying.
No, we're heading over.
Well, if you stay in Charlotte, go drink heavily at the Common Market because their beer selection is awesome. I used to live there. That was like my main hobby. Highly recommended.
We're either staying here or going to Atlanta. So we'll see.
Yeah, so the night drive might be worth doing then.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Crazy in the Brains, why don't you introduce us to who each of the members in the band are and what you guys play in the band?
I'm Chris. I play guitar and I sing.
I'm Jeff. I play xylophone and I sing background vocals.
I'm Brett. I play bass and sing.
I'm Lawrence. I play drums.
My boys.
Now, you know, a lot of people with Crazy in the Brain, we got everyone. I didn't cut anybody out, did I?
No, that's it.
All right. You know, a lot of people say Crazy in the Brains. They're a weird band. Crazy in the Brains, they got a xylophone. Do you guys try to be weird, or are you guys just naturally a unique rocking band? What's the deal with Crazy in the Brains? Inquiring minds want to know. Tiger Beat Magazine wants to know.
Tiger Beat. I think we're just weirdos.
I've been spending every second of every day with these guys for the past 72 hours. I have heard some of the most psychopathic, sociopathic things. I've seen some evil misdeeds in the past 2 days. So,
what is one of the evil misdeeds that you've seen the Crazy in the Brains do?
Littering, for one.
Littering?
Oh.
You didn't litter.
I don't want to say anything too bad because our moms might be watching. Moms and dads.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Are you guys bummed out that you're on the road on one of this most sacred of holidays, Father's Day? Are you guys sad that you're missing the one day dedicated to your pappy?
I have six kids, so yeah.
You have six kids. Not bad.
Yeah.
We're going to make it up to our paps when we get back.
We'll make it up to you.
We'll give him a kiss.
We're going to bring some KFC home for all the dads.
Well, fantastic. You know, you guys had a great album out last year. What do you guys, are you guys working on new material right now? Are you just living off the glory of the last album? What are you guys up to these days?
Yeah, as soon as we get back from tour, we're recording our a new EP, which will be out at the end of August.
And actually, you know what I just realized? Jack's off screen, but Crazy in the Brains, we're here with Jack Terrycloth of World Inferno Friendship Society. You guys both just played the Stanhope House, didn't you?
Yeah.
How'd you enjoy that?
Hey, there he is.
I'm actually from New Jersey, and they're still not happy to see me at the San Jose.
You got a nice little setup there. Oh. Right in the parking lot.
That looks good.
Not the last time, but time before we played there, there were baby ducks in the dressing room.
Really?
Sweet.
Yeah, that's not even a joke or a double entendre. There were baby ducks in the dressing room.
Yeah, actually, Jack, this is a great story. Why don't you tell that story to the Punk News listeners, because that's a fantastic story.
Well, as all you band guys know, you come to judge every club by their dressing room, not how many people show up or how drunk you get. So this one, they didn't really have dressing rooms, so we could stay in change in their office, because, you know, we're a bunch of guys and girls, we get naked a lot. And there's this weird noise going chirp, chirp, beep, 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 and there was a box of baby ducks.
Oh.
And they're just cute as buttons, but I'm kind of worried about what happened to them after we left. Why does one keep baby ducks in an office underneath a chair? Exactly. Nothing good.
Here.
And we were there like last month, and the ducks were gone. Huh. I don't know if there are any rumors here on punknews.org, but the house might eat ducks.
Crazy in the Brains, what can we expect from your new EP? Will it be a continuation of the last album, or will it be a radically different sound?
You know, it's a little different. Kind of like picks up where the album left off, I guess. You know, we're kind of growing, changing. I don't know.
Well, Crazy in the Brains, thank you so much for being on the Punk News podcast. I'm super excited to have one of the hottest new bands here. Anything else you want the Punk News listeners to know?
No, I mean, we'll be on tour, so check our schedule. If we're in a city near you, come see us.
Atlanta, Birmingham, Texas,
California. We'll be in Texas for a while, California.
Oh, yeah.
Program.
We're going to play at the Program Skate Shop in Orange County at the end of the tour. It's a really cool place, so
yeah,
anyone in that area, that's like the biggest show of the tour.
Well, fantastic. Crazy in the Brains, thanks again, and we'll look forward to seeing you sometime soon.
Woo! Thank you.
All right.
Oh!
Cranky the Brains live from a cornfield in Kentucky Fried Chicken, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to wrap up the podcast pretty soon. We've got one more. Oh, yeah, Crazy in the Brains, ladies and gentlemen. Crazy in the Brains. We're going to wrap up the Punk News Podcast pretty soon. We've got one more musical guest coming on real soon. But we cut off Sound Guy Nairman. Sound Guy Nairman, Adam, you were doing a fitting tribute for Sound Guy Nairman. Why don't we wrap up our tribute to Sound Guy Nairman?
Oh, I don't know where I was. Bye.
I appreciate you guys. I appreciate every single one of you. It's been a blast.
Well, Sound Guy Nairman, thank you so much for doing it. No one can feel your shoes. How can I say, Sound Guy Nairman, ever silent, ever accepting of our playful and not so playful jabs. No one can replace Sound Guy Nairman. So thank you very much from PunkNews.org and all the listeners and readers. Sound Guy Nairman.
Yeah. He needs some applause.
All right, and we should have Joel Tannenbaum of Plow United calling in any second. So before we wrap up the podcast, actually, Sound Guy Nairman, what's your favorite Punk News memory?
Oh, wow. Put me on the spot. Well, funny enough, I don't actually read Punk News. That's great. So there, I'll say this. One time, you guys posted an article about me. I don't know why. I could dig it up. But essentially, it was when Rich and I were doing the podcast, and we had to take like a three-month sabbatical because I had the literally, I broke my face and I had to have reconstructive surgery. And so, for whatever reason, you guys found it newsworthy and you posted an article about me breaking my face and the podcast being on a 3-month sabbatical. So that was pretty awesome. I was famous on the internet for like 2 minutes.
Damon, did you have the same face now that you had before you broke your face?
Let's see. Before actually, and after.
So this is not even a joke. This whole side of my face, titanium.
Now that we know that Nairman is half robot, here we are with Joel Tannenbaum of Plow United on the Punk News Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Joel Tannenbaum.
What's up, Gentilly?
So we opened the podcast with World Inferno Friendship Society, one of the greatest bands ever. We're closing the podcast with Joel Tannenbaum of Plow United, one of the greatest bands ever. Joel Tannenbaum, take us out. Hit us with a tune. Let us know what's happening.
Yo, so I'm here with Jamie from X-Friends and Anna, who's very much part of the X-Friends family, and we're going to play this song called Margaret Stackhouse. Is that all right?
That's all right, baby.
Here we go. How did it go, by the way?
If I may quote Exodus, because Joe, I know both you and I are 80s metal, thrash metal, and hair metal fans. It was a fabulous disaster. We had people trying to call in, people not trying to call in, phones breaking down, my computer's crashing. It was everything punk rock should be, wild, chaotic, disastrous, and a whole lot of fun. And Greg's got a mustache, so.
Well done. All right, man, this song's called Marcus Stackhouse. You ready?
Let's go, yeah!
When the morning in the evening, I can picture Margaret Stackhouse. I can picture Margaret Stackhouse, and she's reading and she's thinking of monoliths and obelisks and skylines full of minarets, a bricolage of languages, assemblages of meaning. And she's reading in the morning and in the evening. In the evening, I can picture Stanley Kubrick. I can picture Stanley Kubrick drinking coffee on a soundstage and sifting through some paperwork and finding it distasteful. And it happens on a letter in his postmark from New Jersey. And he's reading in the morning, in the evening. In the morning, in the evening, I can picture Margaret Stackhouse. I can picture Margaret Stackhouse on a narrow bamboo bridge across the empty spaces in between the platitudes of history. She gives the rumblings of mythology in the morning, in the evening, in the morning.
in the evening, I can picture, Margaret in Stackhouse. I can picture Margaret Stackhouse.
Yeah. I'm good.
Joel, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're a busy man because you're in like 9 bands right now. And I know, Joel, that you recently got your PhD. Joel, what's it like to be a PhD punk rocker?
It's not a lot different from being a punk rocker without a PhD. So far, that's been my experience.
Joel, do you ever go on stage and think to yourself, these kids really need to listen to me because I've got a PhD and they don't? I mean, do you really feel that you should educate the youth of today because you have a PhD? I mean, I should refer to you as Dr. Tannenbaum, not Joel. Dr. Tannenbaum.
No, man, I almost hope that nobody knows I have a PhD. So thanks for blowing my cover, John.
Well, I mean, you know, people say that education is not punk rock, but I disagree. I mean, you don't have to be educated to be a punk rocker, but I think having an education does not detract from being a punk rocker. Joel Tannenbaum, would you agree?
I guess we'll find out. The story is to be written.
Joel, you're an X-Friends. You're in Plow United. You guys got a bunch of stuff coming out lately. What do you got coming out through X-Friends, through Plow United, through other bands?
I mean, X-Friends just put out a 7-inch called Animal Needs, and, like, that's pretty good, I guess. I hope. I don't know. Plow United's got a 7-inch coming out called Delco, named for Delaware County, which I feel like is a place that some of you guys know all right. And so, I don't know. That's coming out in July. I hope that's going to be kind of cool. But most of all, I want to say congratulations, guys, on 200 podcasts. That's no small thing.
All right, just me and Ricky are clapping. All right, so Delaware County. Delaware County, it's an area just outside Philadelphia. Philadelphia is Philadelphia County. Delaware County is an area just outside Philadelphia. What's special about the Delaware County?
Delaware County, have you guys ever seen the commercial that the band Cinderella did in 1984 for a restaurant called Pat's Dogs on McDade Boulevard? You can see it on YouTube. I think if you want to know what's special about Delaware County, there's your answer right there.
Joel. I know it can be dangerous to reduce things down to a single attribute, but I'm going to do that right here. Delaware County, are you pro or con?
I'm pro, man. I'm from Delaware County.
Oh, you're pro Delaware County. Oh, and actually, Joel, you know, we're wrapping up the well, what's that, Lan?
No, I'm just laughing because, yeah, around that area. Nothing.
Joel, we're wrapping up. We're wrapping up the Punk News Podcast number 200. Thanks for being on. Let's just talk about a couple last things. First of all, Joel, anything that you want the Punk News listeners to know about? Anything that you want to say? Any releases coming out? Any tours? Or any words of wisdom you have, particularly since you have a PhD?
All right. I didn't know this was coming, but I'm just going to say everybody listening to this podcast should check out a band from South Carolina called Rubrics. The most amazing band that I've heard in like the last 5 years. That's it. That's all I got, man.
Lastly, Joel, would you tell us, if you don't mind, the story of how I believe your van almost killed another band. I forget which band it was, but with a deadly sheet of ice on the top.
Oh. Are you talking about back in the day?
Back in the day.
I'm gonna narrow it down to which bands we almost killed. We used to have Plow United used to have a turtle top on our Ford Econoline back in the day, and we were driving through Florida, and the drummer from the band Good Riddance, you guys remember Good Riddance? Yeah. They were driving behind us. All good? What's going on, guys? I feel like we're having some like bandwidth issues.
We're here. Joel, you're driving along. Good Riddance is behind you. You're feeling particularly devilish. What do you do next?
Didn't lock the turtle top up properly. The lid flew open and a blanket flew back and covered their windshield and almost killed them. So So how's that for punk rock war stories, guys?
That's a wonderful punk rock news. I can't even speak. That's a wonderful punk rock news story. Wonderful way to end the podcast. Joel, thank you again so much for being here, ladies and gentlemen. Joel Tannenbaum and also Joel. Who are you? I'm sorry, Joel. Who are you here with?
Jamie from X Friends and Anna Foderiger, who's very much part of the X Friends family.
Jamie and Anna and Joel, thank you so much for being on the Punk News Podcast number 200. Yeah. And of course, Jack Terrycloth, You came for the beginning. You stayed for the duration. What can I say to a living legend such as you, a man in the ranks of Queen, a man in the ranks of the Rolling Stones, a man in the ranks of, you name it, Judas Priest, Jesus Christ Superstar, Guar, Slayer, World Inferno is right there with them. Jack Terrycloth, thank you so much for being on here. It's a huge honor for us. Jack Terrycloth.
Yeah, Jack.
Anyway, I think I wrapped up Punk News podcast number 200. Everyone, thanks for listening. Anybody else have any last words for our wonderful big event tonight? Anyone else want to say anything? Nothing. I've left them speechless.
I think we're all good.
Well, thanks for listening to Punk News Podcast 200, and we'll see you guys in another 200 episodes. Punk News Podcast number 200, signing out.
Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah.
Better kids.